I'd like to talk about two parts of the parsha. Two parts that are dealing with perhaps two opposites. First is the first pasuk, Bishalach. Vayhi Bishalach, the word Bishalach. And the second, the parsha of the man. And in between them, Kriyas Yamsuf. Bishalach Paro. Anyone that spent any time back in the Mir in the days of Reb Chaim Shmulevitz cannot say the word Bishalach without remembering his shmuz. He'd say it over and over. He said it in his Chumash Shir and he said it in the shmuz. The Parshas Drachim, it's the Mishnah Lamelech Sefer on Chumash, asks, why does it say Bishalach? When the Jews were sent out of Egypt, Bishalach Paro, Paro sent them out. Says the Parshas Drachim, because the Bizas Hayam, all of the Egyptian gold and silver that the Jews walked away with, in Halacha, that was what we call Hanukkah. Hanukkah is the gifts that you're supposed to give a slave after he's freed. The Halacha is that a freed slave gets Hanukkah, a runaway slave does not. So the Parshas Drachim writes that the Torah wants to stress that we left with permission. We didn't run away. To justify the fact that we walked off with everything the Egyptians owned. So Reb Chaim used to say, if you want to explain a Rambam in Hilchis Avodim that way, that's wonderful. But that's not the way to read a Pasuk of Chumash. And he'd say the reason it says Bishalach to stress that the Jews did not run away but were given permission is not to deal with some kind of technicality of whether or not they really earned the Egyptian gold and silver. But Reb Chaim used to say the Torah here is stressing the fact that regardless of the situation, there's always a need for derech eretz. Loosely translated as etiquette or common decency. And Reb Chaim used to mention the Medrash. The Medrash on the Pasuk of Bishalach says, Birshus nichnasnu. When we came down to Egypt, it was with the permission of Paro. We are not leaving without Rishus. We will not leave without permission. So Reb Chaim used to say, you could be a slave in Egypt. Your life is in danger. But if you came in with permission, you can't leave without permission. One had to understand Reb Chaim to appreciate the idea that derech eretz is something to keep in mind even when your life is on the line. Derech eretz is something that's more important than survival. Survival without derech eretz is animalistic. You never lose your stature. Regardless of what's going on. Now, when people are in danger, they turn into animals. The instinct to survive overrides every bit of human being within you. And Reb Chaim used to pound away there. If you're lacking Derech Eretz, it's not worth living. He would talk about the Kohen Gadol. Well, the Kohen. Yeah, the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol who had the bells on his garments, the Pamonim v'Rimonim. And the Pasuk writes, why? It says that the sound, you should be able to hear Bavo El HaKodesh when he walked into the Beis HaMikdash. What kind of explanation is that? So Reb Chaim used to say, you mean you walk into a house without knocking? You've got to let everyone know you're coming. And Reb Chaim used to say, if nobody's home, you don't walk in without knocking. You've got to appreciate that. There's absolutely no logic to this whatsoever. And that was his point. There's something about a human being that you ain't going to find in a computer. There's something in a human being that you cannot go and explain and put on paper. The concept of Derech Eretz, the value of Derech Eretz, the respectable thing to do is you don't abruptly barge into a room even if it's empty. We're humans. That's beneath us. That was what Reb Chaim said. Although we heard this over and over in different forms and on different psukim and different gemaras, and we saw Reb Chaim live it. Nevertheless, when I read the pasuk of B'shalach Paro, I find it very hard to see that Derech Eretz is the issue. I'm not disagreeing with Reb Chaim. What I'm saying is, my appreciation of Derech Eretz, although he gave us so much of it, my appreciation has not reached the point where I can read Vayhi B'Shalach Paro, the Jewish nation leaving Egypt, and I see the pasuk telling me all about leaving with permission because of Derech Eretz. I read that same medrash and I hear something else. And everyone reads a medrash in accordance with where they're holding, in accordance with their personalities, I guess. And when I read the medrash that says, Bershus nichnasnu, we entered Egypt with permission, lo neitze, ela bershus, we will only leave with permission, I don't see the issue as Derech Eretz. I hear the Jews saying this cynically. I hear the Jews standing in front of Paro with all the firstborn there in Egypt dying. Paro afraid for his life because he knows he was a firstborn. They're all ganging up on him. He's looking for Moshe Rabbeinu. I see the Jews in good Jewish tradition with all the chutzpah and all the cynicism. Paro, you want us to leave? You got to give us permission. We're not leaving without permission. B'shalach Paro. Paro had to be taught a lesson. Moshe Rabbeinu was told this over and over. He asks Hashem, how long are the Jews going to suffer yet? He's asking, when are they going to leave? Why are you making things so difficult for them? When is Paro finally going to give in? And Hashem says, I've strengthened his heart. I want to perform miracles. And above all, the Yodu Mitzrayim, I've got to teach the Egyptians, Ki Ani Hashem. The Jews understood that they were in Egypt for a purpose. Of course, it was to develop within the Jewish nation strengths that were going to be there to follow us through the generations. But also to teach the world a lesson, and above all, Paro, who seemed to be the most powerful man in civilization in that day. He's got to learn a lesson. Bishalach Paro. Paro learned his lesson. Paro said, go, I beg you, get out of here. Bishalach Paro, as I see it, is when Paro crumbled, is when Paro, who tried to portray himself as God, had to say, Jews, get out of here, I can't handle you. And the Jews, in good Jewish tradition, waiting to the very end and cashing in on it, and we're not going to leave until you tell us to leave, till you sign the papers. It's got to be loud and clear. You've got to surrender. You've got to say you got the message. But that's just the beginning of it. There's another thing that always bothers me, and I used to take this personally. The Jews did run away, you know. It says Bishalach Paro, but we did run away. We never asked Paro to leave Egypt for good. We only asked to leave for 3 days. So much so that after Bishalach Paro, it says he sent the messengers to see what happened, and they told him, Kivorach Ha'am. They ran away. What did he think? What do you mean, Kivorach Ha'am? You sent them. Kivorach Ha'am. They said they were going for 3 days. They ran away. So this always bothered me. Why? We got rishus. We got permission to go. Paro sent us out. Why do we have to lie? Besides, why was Moshe lying? Is that what the Jews wanted? To go 3 days? Moshe Rabbeinu's prophecy. This was going to be Yetzias Mitzrayim. We're leaving Egypt. Why lie? I hope not too many people over history have read that and understood it. It's a terrible thing. We deceive Paro? Why? Especially if ultimately we know that after blood, frogs, lice, all the plagues, ultimately he's going to crumble, surrender. What do you need that for? Let's fight for leaving. So there's a second side. We have to run away. We have to run away. Remember Napoleon's coronation? It was a while ago. I wasn't there. But what they say is that he grabbed the crown from the Pope. He needed the Pope to coronate him, but he wasn't going to let another human being give him the power. He's got to seize it. We had to teach Paro a lesson. He had to surrender, and he had to say go. But we couldn't leave Egypt because Paro said so. This was our geula. This was giving the Jewish people eternal freedom. We don't get our eternal freedom from Paro. We got to run. We left Egypt. We got permission to go for 3 days. We left. The Jewish nation left. So we got to teach him his lesson. We're not leaving until he says go. And after he says go, we say we're going on our own. Don't do me no favors. We don't need your permission. That's Klal Yisrael. We Jews, we got to teach the world all the lessons. But ultimately, we got to know, we don't need them. We need them to recognize, we walk around with this concept, Kiddush Hashem, we want everyone to know, yeah, we got to teach them that because we got to teach that to the world. But we need their approval. We're at their mercy. The only reason to get their approval is to teach them about Hashem. We don't need it. We are triumphantly coming out of Egypt. It says no one ever escaped Egypt before. We got out of there and tore the place to bits. And they respected us. They were at awe. Even the Khartoumim. We don't need them. We're strong. We're independent. We're Hashem's people. Not only don't we need them, look what happened to all of nature. We have nothing to fear. From the smallest to the biggest. From Kinim to Kriyas Yamsuf. We saw how Hashem will bend everything in nature just to serve the Jewish nation. We don't need the world to support us. We got to teach them their lesson. But we don't need the world to teach us a thing. We don't need the world to do anything for us. We're Hashem's people. And then you read the parsha of the water and the man. There was no water and they're complaining, the water's bitter. Good, so Hashem performs a miracle in his water. But they miss the food. There's no food out here. The matzah only lasted them a month. They need food, and they're complaining. And it's so hard to understand. What didn't they see? What didn't Hashem do for them? David HaMelech in Tillim says this. Hein hikot sur vayazuvu mayim. What didn't Hashem do for them? They want to know, can Hashem also set a table in the desert? That's the way David HaMelech puts it. He did everything. They're complaining. They're afraid. What are they afraid of? These people were so lacking in emunah after Kriyas Yamsuf. It says the maidservant on the sea saw more than Yecheskel, the prophet Yecheskel. They said, Ze keli v'anveyu. They had such clarity that there is no such thing called nature. Its existence is only through the will of Hashem. What happened? Why were they so insecure? What were they missing? Hashem did everything for them. What were they missing? The Sfarim bring down one approach. Whether or not this is the answer, although there are those that claim it is certainly the one that I think relates best to us. We see the miracles. we see how Hashem leads us along in life. And we have clarity. We know it's all for Him. We understand that no one can harm us when Hashem protects. And we understand that there are no needs we will ever have because Hashem supplies them all. We understand that. We're not fools. We are ma'aminim. It's clear. We have one problem. We don't believe we deserve a thing. And on the contrary, the more miracles we see Hashem having performed for us, instead of giving us the confidence that we can trust Him, it makes us feel more and more humbled. We keep getting things for nothing. When are we going to start paying the bill? Who are we already? Did we earn anything? Do we deserve it? The Jews in Egypt came out of the Mem Tesh Shari Tuma. They were part of Egyptian culture. Their lifestyle was so similar to that of the Egyptians. Freedom was handed them on a silver platter. Their insecurity came not in spite of all the miracles, but perhaps because of them. You feel like, I didn't earn a thing. I deserve nothing good. Hashem's given me so much. You know, you can only keep a good thing going so long. When is He going to start meaning business? And Hashem gets angry with that. Hashem says, you don't understand me. There are no games and no tricks. Hashem is all giving. You don't think you deserve anything? And who does? Hashem's all giving. You want to rebel? No guarantees. You want to grow? You want to work? You're not there yet? You're humbled by everything He's done? Wonderful. That's all the more reason to feel secure. He's done it for you in the past, and He will do it for you in the future. Just try. Just keep at it. We don't deserve. We haven't earned. The slightest amount of good that Hashem has given us. But He's not like us. He's giving. He's good. Does that mean you don't have to work? Of course you got to work. But you don't got to fear. Hashem's only good and only giving. Don't be so afraid. When the Pasuk describes the birth of the Jewish nation, the Navi in Yechezkel, and he talks about how we didn't have anything that it takes to survive. Vat erom ve'erya. And the Pasuk says, Hashem finds us there, rolling around in a puddle of blood. And He says, Bidomaya chayi. Chazal translate that as meaning we were undeserving of anything. We were devoid of mitzvahs. We were devoid of merit. And Hashem did it anyhow. The trust that Hashem put us in this world to grow. And that part of that process involves going through all sorts of circumstances. But ultimately, Hashem only loves us and will only support us. And only see to it that so long as we're working, He'll be there for us. Throw us a challenge here and there. And if we only try, He'll get us through the challenges as well. There is nothing to be afraid of. The greatest chait is the fear. The Dor HaMidbar, the generation that came out of Egypt, their greatest chait, the sin that just didn't allow them to come into the land, was this insecurity that they just couldn't shake. They were always afraid. They were afraid in the desert, and they were afraid to go into the land. And they saw the miracles, but they were afraid. We all see miracles. And we're also afraid. Because we don't think we deserve anything good. Whether or not we deserve anything is a matter of opinion. You know, it's hard to evaluate ourselves realistically. We have funny ideas of what everyone else is like, and we usually measure ourselves against them. We seem to think that everybody else is so perfect. Every one of us feels everyone else is really so much better. And we see all the good Hashem has done for us, and it is so clear to us that one day He's just going to hit us over the head. And we're waiting for it to happen. And at any noise, and anything that sounds like the beginning of the end, we're sure it's here. And chances are, were it not for that fear, we'd really be tzaddikim. And this is our greatest sin. We're far better than we're willing to accept we really are. And Hashem is far better than we're willing to accept. And if we know, you know, only knock that into our heads, we'd be able to go so far. Maybe we'd even begin believing that we're not so bad after all. The Jewish nation is great. And we know it. We've got the strength and stamina and chutzpah and everything it takes. And yet we don't believe that we're good enough to deserve Hashem's goodness. And we have to overcome that. That is what stood in the way of the ultimate gula then. We could have gone straight from Egypt to Eretz Yisrael. And we just didn't believe we deserved it. And if only we would today, all of us, we would bring the gula without question. Got to get this through our heads. We're not half as bad as we think we are.